Good morning. A happy and blessed Thanksgiving to all of you. As we begin our Thanksgiving worship service, we do so with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are glad and thankful to be here this morning to honor you and to receive blessings from your word. Be with us in our worship and bless us and our fellow worshipers for your mercy's sake. Teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us grateful and thankful hearts today and always. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is For the Fruits of His Creation. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service on this day of thanks in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day of thanks, we come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. We come to offer Him our thanks and our praise for all His goodness. But we have disobeyed Him. We have deserved nothing but His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. Give thanks to Him, for He truly has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us now praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. We pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, whose mercies are new unto us every morning, and who, though we have in no way deserved your goodness, abundantly provides for all of our needs in both body and soul, give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is a responsive reading of Psalm 100. It is a psalm of thanksgiving, and so is very appropriate for today's service. It's on the middle of page 4 in your bulletin. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Our second reading for today is from Philippians chapter 4. We read verses 4 through 7. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. The Apostle Paul's words here remind us to rejoice and give thanks to the Lord in all things. To when we pray to him, also to remember to pray with thanksgiving. The key phrase in this set of verses is in the Lord. In the Lord is our reason that we can consistently rejoice and consistently give thanks. It's not a matter of, well, if our circumstances are good, then we can rejoice. Or if our circumstances are good, then we can give thanks. In the Lord, we know we always can rejoice and give thanks. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We continue with our hymn of thanksgiving, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Please rise. We join in confessing our faith in our God and Savior with the words of the first article of the Apostles' Creed with Luther's explanation. That's found on top of page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe that God has created me and all creatures. He has given me my body and life, eyes, ears, and all my bodily members, my mind and all my senses, and still keeps them for me. God also preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all my property, and all I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards and defends me from every evil. God does all this because he is my good and gracious Father in heaven, not because of anything I have done to earn or deserve it. For all of this, it is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we truly have always reason to give thanks, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. The setting for this set of verses is the day after Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000. When they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them, Amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So they said to him, What should we do to carry out the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Then they asked him, "So what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said to him, "give us this bread all the time." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to picture yourself in front of your Thanksgiving meal that you are very likely going to eat at some point today. Picture the turkey, or the ham if you're one of those people. The potatoes, the stuffing, all those sides. Think of the pies. It's probably going to be a pretty big table full of food, right? Think of how it smells. Think of how good that food is going to taste. Now imagine standing in front of that huge spread of food when you start to complain, "We really don't have anything to eat." Sounds crazy, right? Who would think such a thing? Who would say such a thing? Well, we would. We have an example of it in our text for Thanksgiving Day today. But it also is an illustration of a problem that often plagues us human beings, especially those of us who, like us, have been given so much. The problem is entitlement. We've been given so much, we have so much, and so many incredible blessings in every area of our life that we begin to just expect them. Just assume they're always going to be there and always should be there. And if they're not there, or if things change, we begin to get resentful. It's not what we're expecting. We have to have these things, or we ought to have these things. We can look at our closets that are so full of clothes that you couldn't wedge one more shirt in there and say things like, "I have nothing to wear." We can open our fridges and our freezers, and because it's not exactly what we want to eat at that particular time, we can say, "There's nothing to eat in this house." We can go out to our driveways, look at our perfectly good working vehicle and say, "Oh, I hate this old car." We have been blessed with so much and so many things that we begin to expect it. We begin to think that we are just entitled to it. That attitude of entitlement, when it sets in, we begin to be complacent. We can get very complainy. When we don't have all the things that we used to have, or don't have all the things that we want, or if we don't get them exactly the way we want them, when we want them, we can get pretty upset. And perhaps the worst thing about having this attitude of entitlement is that it can cause us to be pretty much completely unthankful. Ungrateful, unwilling to give thanks to anyone for anything. Ironically, it can be hard for us human beings to be thankful when we already have everything. Instead of that attitude of entitlement, we pray that the Lord would move us and work in our hearts to give us that attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness each day. And especially today, as we set aside a day literally to give thanks to the Lord for all of His blessings, for all the gracious work He does in our lives. In our sermon text for today, you may have noticed that the crowd was very unsatisfied. They come across as a very entitled group of people. They actually ask Jesus, So what miraculous sign are you going to do so that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? Really? Did they not remember what happened the day before? He fed 5,000, that's just the men, so probably more like 10 to 15,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And they didn't just get a bite each. He fed them until they were full, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And yet they come to him asking for another miraculous sign, more miraculous signs. Prove who you are, Jesus. What's wrong with these people? Didn't they know that this was the Savior? This was the Son of God that God sent to them to save them from their sins, not to feed their bellies and give them a bunch of magic tricks to entertain them and cater to their every whim. How about showing some gratitude, people? How about realizing that right in front of you is the Savior of the world, God Himself in human flesh? Well, in our text, Jesus not only shows them the solution to their attitude of entitlement, He also redirects their priorities. And that's sort of the way He changes their attitudes, by redirecting their priorities. When this crowd demanded food, what did Jesus do? He points them to spiritual food, truths about Himself as the Savior from sin that God had sent. From verse 27 of our text, He says, "Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." When they gave in to their natural work righteous attitudes and actions, they said, well, what do we do to gain eternal life, to find favor with God? Jesus points them to believing in Him. In verse 29, Jesus answers them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the One whom He sent." When these Jewish listeners asked Jesus to prove Himself by giving them bread from heaven, just like the children of Israel ate that manna as they wandered through the desert on the way to the promised land, Jesus again turns their hearts and their minds to the spiritual food and the true God, Jesus Christ Himself. He says, "For the bread of God is the One who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The true bread of life was Jesus. He was standing right in front of them. When the people asked Jesus then, "Sir, give us this bread all the time," Jesus plainly tells them, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." By having faith in Jesus, they would never be hungry or thirsty again, at least not in spiritual things, and not in things of eternal significance. Well, how about us? Do we see that many times we are like this crowd in our text, putting physical things and physical needs and physical wants above spiritual needs, spiritual wants? Do we find ourselves falling into this entitlement mindset with both the many material blessings Jesus has given us, but also with the spiritual blessings He has given us? Do we always look to Him and view Him as our loving Savior and show Him the gratitude and thanks for the many gifts that He has given us, especially that gift of eternal life with Him in heaven, which He gave to us by giving up His own life on that cross? Perhaps the problem may be that we aren't feeling too blessed this Thanksgiving. Maybe we don't feel like we've been given everything. Maybe today it's just plain hard to see the gifts that God has given you. Maybe there's so much pain or grief in your life right now that you're overwhelmed to the point where you don't see or can't see just how truly blessed you are. Or maybe our problem is, like so many people today, we've been blessed so often in so many ways for so long that we just don't like the look of our gifts and blessings anymore. We'd rather have something else, or we'd rather have just a little bit more. So how then can we overcome that attitude of entitlement and apathy toward these great gifts that God has given us? How can we have a true spirit of thanksgiving in a world that is so full of unthankful people? A world that teaches us you should always strive for just a little more stuff. Always climb a little higher and a little harder for a little more status. Well, the answer is found where you know it's always found. The answer is found in the one who is the giver of all good gifts, in Jesus. He can and will work in our hearts and minds a better recognition and a better appreciation for his gifts. Jesus is the one who can give us a heart like King David, who wrote these words in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. That is David's Old Testament way of saying, count your blessings. May the Lord move our hearts to not forget, but to remember, to realize and to recognize all his benefits, to recognize God's blessings in all their many forms, and to give thanks for every one of them, even when it feels like or seems like it's impossible for us to do that right now. To recognize and realize some of the blessings that we have taken for granted every day. Did you have warm water in the shower this morning? Do you have electricity in your home? Did you have food? Do you have food waiting for you? Do you have a vehicle that runs, a home to live in? We also ask the Lord to help us focus on what we do have, rather than being so focused on the thing that we do not have or the things that we do not have. I sometimes have used the illustration of the fact that God has given us a treasure like a gigantic pot of gold, but there's three or four pieces of coal in it, and we stare at those pieces of coal and say, what's with the pieces of coal? And completely ignore the fact he's given us an incredible treasure. Be thankful for some of the things that we normally would not think to be thankful for. May God move our hearts, especially in this area of our lives, to be thankful for even the difficult times. Those are the times God uses to make us grow. Be thankful for our limitations. God uses those to help us improve in our, not just our physical lives, but in our spiritual lives. Be thankful for even the times we have made mistakes and we have failed. God uses them to teach us valuable lessons and to turn us to him in repentance and in faith, to turn to him for forgiveness. It can be easier at times to be thankful when times are good, but to be thankful even when times are bad, even when there are setbacks and disappointments, that is an attitude only God and his Spirit can work in us. And remember, God has promised to work all things, even the bad things, out for our good, our true spiritual and eternal good. And as hard as it is to be thankful, we can be thankful for our difficulties because God can and does turn them into blessings. As believers in Christ, when we look at our lives, we can truly say that we have been given everything. Everything we need, physically, materially, and most importantly, spiritually. And God hasn't just given us what we need. He's given us far beyond that, hasn't he? He's given us far beyond what we could even ask or desire. So on this day of thanks, and always, may we always, through new eyes each day, see that God has blessed us in ways that we don't deserve, in ways we could never imagine, and in ways maybe that we've forgotten or neglected to thank him. May we each remember with the Spirit's help to remember most of all the blessing we have in Jesus, and to see Jesus for who he really is, the bread of life. We have partaken of that bread of life. We've partaken of him by faith, and we've had our everlasting hunger filled. May we now be truly thankful to our God and Savior, who deserves our thanksgiving for everything. Amen. You may remain seated. We continue with our sermon hymn, We Praise You, O God. It's printed in your bulletin.
We praise.
And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. Our service continues now with our choir hymn, O Give Thanks. Please rise. Along with our prayers of thanks to our Heavenly Father today, we also bring prayers for my wife Jules and our family. Earlier this week, her Nana, her grandma, Dorothy Anderson, passed away. She is currently in Wisconsin with her family, and tomorrow will be the victory service for Nana. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We thank and praise you and are grateful for the blessed life that you gave to your servant Dorothy, for the many years of life and service that you gave her in your kingdom, for the family and friends and all that you've provided for her. But most of all, dear Lord, we are thankful for your grace in making her your child by bringing her to faith in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your wisdom, you have chosen to summon Nana home after a long and fruitful life to be with you in the heavenly mansion you've prepared for her. We thank and praise you, and we're comforted by the fact that you were with her by her side to the very end with your presence and your peace. We rejoice that she is now sharing the eternal joys of heaven with her Savior Jesus, with her husband Dean, and all the believers that have gone before her. At the same time, dear Lord, we are saddened by the loss of Nana from this life. She will be missed as a dear mother, grandmother, and Christian friend. Please comfort Jules and our family and our loved ones with the knowledge that she is sharing the eternal joys of heaven with you, where there is no sin, no sorrow, no pain, and no death. Give us your grace and your strength to humbly accept your calling of Nana to her heavenly home as your good and perfect will, and give all of us the peace of knowing that you're working all things together for good. Dear Savior, please cause the gospel message that will be preached at her victory service tomorrow to comfort and encourage the hearers and to remind them that in you, dear Jesus, is eternal life and the sure and certain promise of our own resurrection. Comfort all of us with the joy that when we say goodbye to a departing Christian, it is not forever, but rather we say till we meet again on the last day, when we will be with you and her and all the believers in Christ on heaven's glorious shore. Sustain us and keep us all in saving faith through your word until our final day comes. In Jesus' saving name we pray, amen. O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for every blessing, both for this life and for that which is to come. It is your gracious providence that has preserved us and sustained us all our lives to this day. In times of sickness, you sustained us. You mended our hearts when we were crushed with grief. You helped us endure our losses and to forget what was unpleasant. In all the emergencies which we faced, you were there to help us. Never once were we forsaken. Gracious God, when we consider the abundance of food produced and consumed in our nation, the advanced medical services available to us, the high standard of living to which we've been accustomed, and the freedom from oppression and tyranny that we enjoy, we must confess that we are truly living in a blessed land. And still, these are neither the sum total of your blessings, nor even the most important. Far greater than these are your blessings to our souls. You have loved us with an everlasting love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through him, all of our sins find perfect and full forgiveness. Through him, our troubled souls find rest, and our hearts are filled with joy and peace. Lord, you even chose us from eternity to be your own, and through your Holy Spirit, you've called us to faith through the gospel. To this very hour, the Spirit has worked effectually in us, keeping us true to Christ. And so we praise you with our hearts, our souls, and our minds for these and countless other blessings. We bring you our best offerings. We strive to live decently, uprightly, and honestly to the glory of your name. May we never fail to see you as our merciful God, our Savior, and our Sanctifier. May we never fail to acknowledge that all blessings flow from you. Help us overcome the greed and selfishness of our sinful natures so that we might better recognize the needs of others and learn to be generous in sharing with them your many blessings. Forgive us all our sins, and do not on their account withhold your love from us. We pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, for whose sake our names have been recorded in the book of life, and in his name now we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. You may be seated. We close our Thanksgiving service with, "Now thank we all our God." You are invited to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A happy and blessed Thanksgiving Day to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message from His Word that you've heard again today. We truly do have much to be thankful for, especially as believers in Him. A couple of announcements from the bulletin. This coming Sunday will be our usual worship service times. Bible class here in Mountain View at 9 a.m., worship service at 10, and Hayward then worship service will be at 1 p.m., Bible class at 2. A reminder also that the children's Christmas program practices begin this weekend at 11:15 after our worship service this weekend. Christmas tree and church decorating will occur on Sunday, December 3rd. So not this Sunday, but the Sunday after. That will take place after the worship service. If you're able to help us do that, please join in helping to decorate the church for the Christmas season. Thank you to all of you who have extended prayers and thoughts of concern and sympathy for Jules and for our family. We thank you for your expressions of care always, but especially at times like this where we are thankful, but it's a bit of a bittersweet Thanksgiving because we will also miss Nana and her involvement in our lives. Any other announcements for today? Ellie, you have an announcement? We hope we have a good Sunday. Yes, that's a good announcement. Thank you, Ellie. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.